SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi in for Mike Carver tonight. Carver and I were in studio last night. He needs a load management day to get ready for the weekend. I think he's a big travel day, but don't worry. It's okay. We have his replacement. He was supposed to join us in the first hour, but he's back. Mr. West Coast. He's always in on a Tuesday and Thursday night, calling in, talking about Major League Baseball, football. But it's a football show when I'm in the cockpit. The sportsbook consigliere, Dave Sharapan, is in. Dave, now, before I even talk, I heard the video. Are you okay? You didn't wear a hat today, and you're talking how preseason football is not football. Could we get real? So I'm assuming you watched the Field of Dreams game between Chicago and the Cincinnati Reds tonight.
From beginning to end.
From beginning to end. Did you really?
I did not watch one single snap of football tonight. And I'm happy to say.
Are you kidding?
Absolutely 100% not kidding. It's as real as your hair, which is luscious. Okay?
I love that word, fact. Luscious. That is. I can't believe that. Now, just to show how polar opposite we are,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I did not watch a stitch of the baseball game. I watched every snap of the Giant and Patriot game. And now, as I'm talking to you, I have the replay on NFL Network of Malik Willis in Tennessee taking on Tyler Huntley in Baltimore. That's how polar opposite we are. But guess what, Dave? I told everybody, the momentum continues with the over train. I hit another early parlay with just overs in the Major League Baseball today.
It's unbelievable what you're doing right now. The run you're on with these overs, I mean, it's just you're making it look easy. Not as easy as the Dodgers run line, which is 10 in a row. And there's no handicapping involved. You just take the Dodgers on the run line every day. But you're doing it in baseball with the overs. You got the over in a Giants-New England game. I see that.
No, I was on the under. I was on the under tonight.
We just buried the lead. Wait, what? You bet an under, Joe?
Yeah, I tweeted it out. Yeah, the world might stop tonight. The earth might stop rotating. You know why?
Second. Was that on a chart or a graph that you bet the under? You don't bet the under. Charts and graphs.
I know, charts and grass. As we welcome in our radio audience, Carver and Lisi here with you on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159, and every affiliate from the West to the East Coast. Joe Lisi, Dave Sharapan, breaking it down. I bet an under tonight. I did, and I tweeted. I said the bet was based solely on the stupidity of Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. That's what the bet was based on, and I was dead wrong. And on top of it, I got, you know what I got, right, Dave? I got, you know it. I got the can tonight. I got the can. The CLV can.
You did. What was the number?
35. Well, it opened it opened at 34.5, and then they bet it up to 35.5, that key number, right? 35. So they sucked me right into the CLV can.
Man, oh, man. You know where, I mean, I'll send you the things on the Twitter so you can have the cans. You know where to find them. It's tough. I mean, this preseason is so – I mean, for years, Joe, it's been one of those markets that I just didn't like taking bets on. I didn't like making bets on. It was just – it clouds my mind too much. When I was doing fantasy stuff and whatever, like I like to watch it a little bit to try to get backups and things. But – the numbers have been set for months, and with sportsbooks everywhere now, I mean, we used to do this like exclusively at CG where we would do the whole season except for the last week and put up numbers. And now it's out more popular, and, you know, it's before the draft, and it's crazy. So anything that goes on in these preseason games, really, I don't for me, I don't want to cloud my mind too much with it, because most of the guys playing in the preseason, significant amounts of time, are not going to be playing in the regular season. So I don't want to cloud my judgment. Plus, I had under, and I did what you did. I waited till there were early runs scored in a baseball game. Went up to 11.5. I played under 11.5, under 10.5, under 9.5, under 8.5, and then took 2.5 with the Reds. Had a good night in baseball.
Oh, there you go.
That's it.
Love it. All right, when Dave and I return, we'll get his take about some of the totals for tomorrow night, because I do have a couple of questions, and we'll talk to him about maybe some college football futures. Joe Lisi, Dave Sharapan, in for Mike Carver, coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi, Dave Sharapan, in for Mike Carver in this hour. Carver's off on a load management day out with the family. I told you, he got two full doses in terms of me yesterday. And I'm an acquired taste. You either love me or hate me. And for 2 hours straight, that was enough for Carver. Coach, I need a blow. Get me out.
Was snapping his helmet.
That's it. Carver's out. That's it. But we're breaking down preseason action. And Dave, you did bring up an interesting point in terms of when you were working in the risk room, in terms of CG, how you used to set the lines. And I do have a question, because obviously you see the lines, and we'll go off FanDuel in terms of just what you see for the preseason action, right? Today, It was 34.5 at open. They bet it up to 35.5 with New York and New England. 32.5 in terms of Tennessee. And obviously Baltimore now, no Tannehill and no Lamar Jackson, I get that. But now we look at this game tomorrow night with the potential of Deshaun Watson starting for Cleveland. And this line, from a totals perspective, is just through the roof, 37.5. I mean, yeah. You know, some lines, you know, over the weekend, Friday night, Cincinnati and Arizona, 30.5. So why is the book, when they break down this game, okay, Deshaun Watson, Is he worth 7 points in terms of the value, or we're missing something in terms of this breakdown with this particular game? Because even though Jacksonville has a game under their belt, it's not like, is Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson going to play four quarters in this matchup?
Well, I mean, the quarterback play, the amount of time or series that they play, is a huge factor in guys who – you know, come in and play limits on preseason football. So I'm looking at, it's not a chart and a graph, but it's my line screen here. And the opening number for that game, Cleveland-Jacksonville, in some places open as low as 33.
Right.
It's pretty standard. You see, if you look at the opening numbers for all the games, they're either 32, 32.5, 33, 33.5, or 34. It's pretty simple. It's just It's been the same for years. That opened up 33, and then the Watson news that he's going to play, and he's going to play a significant amount of time, is just a steam bet, one or two limit plays to get that thing up to 37. Now, it's continuing, and books are now at 37.5, looking at going, okay, I mean, how much higher are we going to go? Because it's out of whack. I mean, you're completely right. Like, it's just, it's probably too much. But keep in mind, the lines move so differently in the preseason than they do in the regular season. You have to overly be aggressive when you move lines when you're booking a preseason, because you don't have the flood of public money to offset stuff. So if they're on the over, just like they were on the Giants-New England tonight, and you see a multiple-point move, meaning from 33 to 34.5 or 35, like I used to move it by 2 points. I used to move it like an NBA total, Joe, because I was I didn't want the second bet, because the number didn't matter for the second bet. And I think that's kind of a big change in the amount of books that we have now. And you see books, you have to move it to a different number than the market to see if that's the point you're going to get the under bet. So from 33 to 35, from 35 maybe to 37, and now you'll see it kind of inch up even more, because now there's a real reluctance to do it, because you go to 38 or, you know, even 38 and a half, and somebody hits you with a limit play under, you've middled yourself with six right. points, which is a disaster.
Right.
Nobody likes to have those meetings, you know, following the following day or the following Monday, and going, what happened on the Cleveland total? Well, we lost every which way. It fell 37.
We got screwed. We were wrong. It was a bad. It was a bad breakdown.
Yeah.
Bad analysis. Now, all right. So here's how I look at it.
Do you think he's going to play, Joe? Do you think he's going to play?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, and I'll give you my take. But I did want to hear and see if you heard this news, because now supposedly it came out about 3 or 4 hours ago, about 2 hours before I was on air, that he's willing to accept a $5 million fine and an 8-game suspension.
Oh.
Okay. That's Deshaun Watson willing to accept 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine. That's great for Deshaun. But it's not great for the NFL. No. It's not great for the people that want him to miss at least a year, and the fans that are going to show up from a negativity standpoint in terms of, you know, just bashing the NFL and the damage control that they're going to have to do. $5 million, big deal. He just got 280 guaranteed, right? I mean, so that's that aspect, and we could dive into that in a little bit. But I will say this from the football aspect. If I'm a head coach and I think he'll be there, or he's going to be there for a period of time in 2022, meaning he'll play, let's say, week, 10 through week 17. Yeah, you want to try and get him as much reps as possible, because what about shaking off that ring rust for a year and a half? Nobody brings that up in terms of when we talk about his play. In terms of on the field, like he's just going to hit the ground running and just be, you know, 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns this year with Amari Cooper and those wide receivers. I mean, that's a huge time off from an elite level that he was playing with Houston a year and a half ago. No?
Correct. I've been talking about this for a year. Sitting out for whatever reason is a big deal. And building up to NFL game speed, you don't just do that taking some snaps in a preseason and then sitting another 8, 10, 12 games, whatever it is. You can't. So he just got there this summer, whatever it was. He did some, you know, shorts and T-shirts workouts that put him in pads a couple weeks. And again, he's just going to, you know, beat Deshaun Watson of Clemson, of you know, when he was good in Houston? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't see it. And again, I always try to look at it, I mean, just from not the number standpoint. The physical element of it is hard enough. The mental is even harder. Throw him in against Jacksonville on the road, and everybody's just betting them. They're flipped the favorite. They're betting it over. He's going to play the whole first half. All this other stuff, you hear these stories, and you kind of go, I don't know. I mean, like, I know you like to zig when people zag and vice versa. If I was to bet this game, which I'm not, I am not.
Okay.
I think I would bet under. I think I would let this thing get up to a certain number. As much as, like, I like to follow the steam, like on the Giants in New England, I was like, God, Peralta asked me about it this morning on the Bostonian versus the book, and I was like, listen, man, I know you want to go the other way. I wouldn't touch this one. I think this one's going over. I don't feel that way about Cleveland-Jacksonville. There's too many unknowns. There's way too many unknowns for me.
I will say this. It gets over 38. I'm taking the under in that game. But I will say this. The downside is he could play a half, but if he gets hurt, you're going to be second-guessing right? If he tweaks something, then you really have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what are we doing here?
Injury question the biggest hurdle for preseason games? It's huge.
Right. When we come back, we'll break down some other games. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi here with you. Lisi in for Carver in the hot seat. I got Dave Sharapan with me tonight. We discussed it. Carver will be back tomorrow. Left off talking about the situation with Deshaun Watson. I brought up how he's willing to accept an 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine that came on CBS.com, CBSSports.com, and Cleveland.com. We'll see how true that is and if the NFL responds with the hammer in terms of a full season. Only time will tell. Cleveland, a 1.5-point favorite on FanDuel tomorrow night in Jacksonville. We also, while in break, Dave and I brought up the situation in terms of Tampa Bay with Tom Brady taking an extended period of time to deal with personal things. Now, I don't know how long that time is, but Dave, you said you heard it. It's potentially 10 days. And I'll ask you now, could it be COVID? Could it be the situation with Miami in the situation of having to answer questions about the tampering with Stephen Ross in the Miami Dolphins when he was a member of New England and Tampa Bay? Or is it personal problems? Maybe Giselle is upset because he retired and then didn't retire and unretired, and now he's playing at 45 years old. Which one do you think? And is there maybe a little rumblings or disaster over Tampa Bay, a little cloudy skies there?
I don't know specifically. It's really strange the way it kind of came out, because it said, you know, and Todd Bowles had to go on and do a press conference today and address it, because he said that Brady's absence, you know, was discussed in advance and he'll return after preseason game against Tennessee on August 20th. So he's gone for 10 days. And, you know, reading the quote from Bowles, he said, "This is something we talked about before training camp started. We allotted this time because he wanted to get in and get chemistry with the guys and go through 2 weeks of training camp, knowing he wasn't going to play the first two games. He didn't want to take away reps from Blaine and Kyle," that's Gabbard and Trask, "as well as Griff, Ryan Griffin, going into these next two games, knowing it's something he needs to handle. When asked if the issue was health-related, Bull said, 'It's a personal issue. That's all I can tell you.'" So all we can do is speculate. But it's just, I guess, you've reached a level where you know you're not going to play. You've come in. You've built up the reps with the guys that you needed to build up the reps with. Coincidentally, they're playing Miami. Coincidentally, all that stuff went on with Miami. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, if you think about it, if it's off the field related, I mean, God bless. Hope everything's okay. Whether it's, you know, his mom was sick before, all kinds of things. It could be anything. But you start to wonder, okay, how does this end? I mean, does this end? They're the second choice to win the Super Bowl, Carver.
Carver, they're the second.
You're Carver tonight. I can't believe they're the second choice.
I know. But it's by default, right? I mean, think about it. L.A., yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. They, in that first half against the L.A. Rams, they couldn't do anything from an offensive perspective. And that was with the offensive line intact, right? That was with Mike Evans there. Now, the no Godwin, but at the end of the day, they couldn't move the football a lick. It wasn't until the fumble, the Cam Akers fumble, Sean McVay getting a little tight with the play calling. He almost coached himself out of that ballgame, that Brady was allowed to come from behind and tie that ballgame up, right? So
yeah.
Here's the thing that I struggle with when I look at just the teams there. Who's an elite team? All right, Tampa Bay, but the offensive line issues now with the backup center concern me, especially with the line calls and the continuity, especially if the fact that the running game's not there with Leonard Fournette. You still don't know if Godwin's 100%. There's no guarantee he might not break down. Okay, Julio on paper seems great, but he didn't do it with Ryan Tannehill. So, and at the end of the day, Bowles, you know, if we're looking at the coaching perspective, here's what I've always asked and I'm always curious about. Brady had such a good relationship, supposedly, with Leftwich. If he, in fact, did force out Bruce Arians or had a hand in that, why wouldn't he go with the offensive-minded head coach in Byron Leftwich? Why would he go with Todd Bowles? I mean,
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. I'm looking at the odds right now for the NFC. Tampa's the favorite, plus 340. Green Bay's 5-1. The Rams are 5-1. The Niners, plus 750. Cowboys, 850. I guess by default, but they're the favorite, Joe. Like,
I know that.
We got to find out who's coming out of the NFC. I don't think they're coming out. I don't think they're winning the NFC. I don't think so either.
If Stafford was healthy, I'd say it would be the LA Rams potentially. I would say LA is my. If I had to seed them right now, off a default, I would put LA, and that's not now because of the elbow. That's a concern for me. I would put Tampa Bay 2 just because it's Brady, but I don't love it. And then 3, yeah, you got to put Aaron there. You have to, but I don't love that either. I think Minnesota wins the division. I really do.
Wow, I'm not really sold.
Yeah, I do. That's just me, though. I'm a buyer. I thought that Minnesota was handcuffed by Zimmer. I really believe that. Now only time will tell, and I believe that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be the same without Devontae Adams. Again, only time will tell. We'll know within the first month and a half of the season, right? If Aaron is struggling.
Is the AFC that much better than the NFC? I mean, I'm looking at the teams.
Well, it's what quarterbacks they are, right? Top to bottom. I mean, Lamar, Joe Burrow. Go down the list. Josh Allen. Right.
Herbert.
I mean, go down. I mean, you could throw Matt Ryan in there and Tannehill is being above average because they've got, I don't believe that, but above average? I mean, think about it.
Are you not mentioning Mitch Trubisky for a reason? Are you just not mentioning Mitch Trubisky in that?
Well, that's another thing. I need him to start week one, Dave. You're a Steeler fan. Who do you want starting week one? You tell
me. He's starting week one. He's starting
week one. All right, well, that's good. Okay, if the team goes 2-2, is he still the starter?
Yes.
Okay, they start 1-3. Then what?
I think he starts all the way through at least to the bye.
And which then is like week 5, right?
I think it's week 6.
Okay.
And then there'll be a discussion if they have a losing record. I think that's when it becomes a discussion. What did you start with the Penn State people? What did you do with the Penn State people, Joe?
They're bashing Franklin, and I understand why he's 19-18 over his last, 8 years on the road. I get that. Yada, all the stuff about Penn State, I get that. And I just posed a question. Who do you want? And they did bring up two names that have been named with other jobs, Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell. But I said, you know what? It's easy when you're at a group of five or a program that's under the radar, right? That's one thing. And it's another thing when the bullseye's on your back. And, people forget that Luke Fickell went 6-6 after he took over with Jim Tressel at Ohio State, right? We forget that. Yeah. Now, he has done a fantastic job at Cincinnati, but we can't say Cincinnati's expectations are the same for Penn State. People forget that James Franklin took Vanderbilt to back-to-back 9-4 seasons and 2 bowl wins, and what have they done ever since he left, right? And Matt Campbell, I said, okay, 9-3 2 years ago. They were a veteran team, Big 12 championship that they played in against Oklahoma, and they limped to a 7-6 record when the expectations were there. So you can make the argument.
What are the expectations for that team? What are the expectations for that?
Nothing. They're 20-1 to win the Big 12. I actually like them this year as a long shot with Texas Tech. I love Oklahoma State as being the best team. But for me, Matt Campbell, when the expectations are not as high, that's when Matt Campbell steps up. When he's the underdog,
I don't think he has the horses, though, this year.
I mean, Deckers is not a bad quarterback. You know, you could make the argument that Purdy sucked last year. You can. Xavier Hutchinson is good.
Good games. You're right.
You know, he's a blue collar coach. But let me ask you: you're a Penn State alum.
Yeah.
Who would you take? Who is? I mean, you went from Paterno to Bill O'Brien to James Franklin. Who is really set for that type of success?
I really like James Franklin as a recruiter, as a guy I would send my kid to. I think he's great for the school, for the team, for everything. All except for sometimes in the game, Joe.
Right.
He drives you crazy because it looks like or feels like he's making the wrong decision, and a lot of times it's just, you know, kind of a panic move, which drives Penn State people crazy because no matter what, Joe Paterno looked the same every time on the side. So
that's
a hard one to live up to.
It is. We could talk about it on the back end. Well, maybe we'll talk some week one lines of college football. Me and Sharapan coming right back on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Last segment of the show. Time flies 2 hours. I hope I actually entertained you for the last hour and 40 minutes. Maybe I didn't. Carver will probably bash me tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Joe Lisi in for Mike Carver along with Dave Sharapan. We'll be talking about NFL and college football. Dave, before we transition, I do want to bring up a name, and this is an interesting one because if he succeeds on the NFL level for Penn State, there's no way he most likely will go back to college. But somebody brought up one of the listeners. Din, if you're out there, I give you a shout out. Matt Rhule, if he gets fired, and I said, you know what, it's not a bad, not bad. I mean, Matt Rhule, Baylor did great things. I mean, coached that talent up. You see what Dave Aranda did in 2 short years, but Matt Rhule got that program off the ground after Art Briles, and then obviously what he did with Temple and leading them to an AAC championship before he bolted to Waco against Navy. But, you know, that's not a bad name. You know, Matt Rhule
gets... not a bad name. Is he a PA guy?
He is.
A PA guy?
Yeah,
I believe he is, right?
He's a Penn State guy. Yeah. He's a Penn State guy.
Yeah,
you know, and at the end of the day, if Matt Rhule was available, but I have to go in terms of who's available right now. I still think Matt Rhule could be live in Carolina this year.
You know, I really think so, too.
Five and a half is light. 6.5 is light. I mean, come on. The only thing, let me ask you this. The only thing to get over that number is, can you get McCaffrey for 12 games? Can you guarantee me
you
that?
You have to.
The kid's missed 23 over the last 2 years. Right?
He has to play. He has to play. But I think with him and a veteran quarterback who, I mean, I think Baker's been getting a bad rap. The guy's a tough guy, and he was playing hurt last year, given every, you know, chance to fail by keep going out there. Give him a running game. Give him a couple guys that can catch. And I think Carolina's going to have some success. I really do. I'm not sold on that division. I just don't know even who the second best team is in that division. And I think it can be Carolina. I've been talking about it. And, you know, kind of people have been coming at me too. Like, what are you seeing? You know, well, if it's Sam Darnold, it's a different story. I'm not convinced he's the quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield is the quarterback. I think he's going to be the quarterback, and I think that's only going to help them. As far as you being entertaining, Joe, the price is minus $2,500 to open on the yes. All right? No matter
well,
what Carver
matters.
Says. That's
that,
the price. And that's right. If anybody wants to come take the dog, find me at SportsBeat Tank and Sing. Please. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you what. Put it on the wood. I'm definitely minus. I love it. Bet the favorite, Joey Chalk. Joey Chalk.
Easy everybody now. Eats, Joe. You can everybody lay the favorite does eat on the show. Entertaining. Come on.
I'll tell you this, Dave. Here's what I can't understand. And you know, when we talk about the quarterback situation with Sam Darnold and obviously Baker, Matt Rhule did not roll the dice to get Baker in to have him sit. There's no room for error for Matt Rhule this year in year three.
Why can't people see that, Joe? Like, why are they even? I mean, I know it's a quote unquote quarterback competition.
He's not going to have a job next year.
That's it. He has to play him. He has to go 500. Well, you mean you can't go 500 anymore in the NFL?
Right.
I'm going to stop saying
that. At least eight and nine. You have to get over the hump or at least be challenging for that last wild card. And here's the thing. I agree with you. Like, people don't understand. Year one, the way coaching is now, even on the college level, year one, you weed out the players that fit your scheme and don't fit your scheme. It used to be, give them a recruiting class, three, potentially four. That's not the norm anymore. That is not the norm because of Nicky Saban, right? Because Nick Saban hit the ground running in Tuscaloosa in 2009, and all of a sudden that train's rolling for the last 13 years. That's why. You know, so the win now mentality. So Matt Rhule had that with the 4-12 season with Teddy Bridgewater. You know, and then year two comes, he rolls the dice with Sam Darnold, they start 3-0 and fall off a cliff because McCaffrey's not there and Darnold sucked. Now you're going to go back to the same guy that couldn't get you over 5 wins last year? No way. No way.
Only by default. He's only doing it if he has to. He's not doing it.
I would go Corral. Corral has a better opportunity to start more games than Darnold if Baker gets nicked up. No way. I would never go back to Darnold. If you're wrong, I would roll the dice with the kid.
This is the question. You have to make sure, one, that he's healthy, but two, if you get enough wins this year with Baker, now you have a year of Corral sitting there kind of getting ready. Now it becomes a real quarterback competition, and I think it's between Corral and Baker. And in that situation, if he knows maybe he gets an extension or he gets another, you know, extra year or two, he can go with the kid. I think he's going to be a good pro. Do you?
Oh, I love Corral. I said he's the most NFL-ready. That was over Kenny Pickett. I really believe that. Now, I know there were some off-the-field issues concerning. That's why he dropped, supposedly. But if we're talking throws, we're talking kids stepping up in a big-game environment and cutting down on mistakes his senior year with Lane Kiffin, that was Matt Corral. I still think he's going to be out of this class that was not elite. I still think he'll be the best quarterback 4 or 5 years down the road. But that's me. Ooh, that's just what I've seen. You know, now, only time will tell, right? I can tell you that, again, the window for these coaches and quarterbacks is 2-3 years. That's why you look at a situation in Nebraska with Scott Frost year five. Like, that's unheard of now, year five.
You don't just get brought more up than them. They play week zero.
Right.
All right, against Northwestern. They're laying a ridiculous number.
12.5.
12.5. I can't believe it.
It's up from 8.5, Scott. Scott, I called you Scott. So we're even now. You called me Carver, right. I called you Scott. I did the show with Wetzel tonight. But Dave, I mean, up from 8.5. They beat them 56-7 last year. That's why that line, there's no margin for error. Let me ask you this. If somehow, someway, Nebraska loses that game, I said they won't let Scott Frost get on the bus home or the flight.
They're playing in Ireland. They got to let him
I know, but I'm saying, Scott, find your way home. Don't worry. Don't come back to Lincoln in any capacity. God. I mean, if you're Nebraska, how long are you going to – when's the marquee win with this guy?
It's this year, right? This is it. It's time. I don't know, though. Like some schools, Joe, you know, once they bring a guy in, especially a guy who's, you know, that school guy, a Penn State guy, a Michigan guy, a Nebraska guy, they don't make the change. They wait too long usually, right, instead of just making the change. So I don't know. There's a lot going on there. I think that whole side of the Big Ten is very interesting. We're going through some of the schedules, and I was looking at season wins and all this stuff, and I'm like, I don't know who's going to win that side of the Big Ten. I really don't.
I love Minnesota. I love PJ Fleck. Well, to me, I took them at 7.
Wow.
They're down to 5. Hey, listen, to me, defense wins championships, especially in the Big Ten. When you don't have elite quarterback play on that side of the division, you have Graham Mertz, who sucks, 10 touchdowns, 11 interceptions last year. You have Paul Christ that can't coach his way out of a paper bag and make second-half adjustments when the offensive line can't run for 400 yards against Army. I mean, that's Wisconsin, right? I mean, talk about big games. That I mean, he got out-coached by Harbaugh, Kelly last year. Who else beat up on
Franklin,
on Wisconsin?
Franklin, Penn State,
Franklin,
Wisconsin.
Well, that was Early week one, right? That yeah. I had them plus 4.5. But I'm just saying, when they don't run the football, they and PJ Fleck beat them in the rivalry game, I think by 10, 24-14.
Yeah.
So four good head coaches beat Paul Chryst last year. He doesn't make adjustments. Same thing with Iowa. Their quarterback play sucks. Peterson, Padilla. So if there's not quarterback play, you know, to the next level, like a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young, you have to go on what's constant. And I know they only have 6 starters coming back, but you would have to hope that P.J. recruited at a consistent level where you're not going to go from allowing 20.5 points per game to all of a sudden now allowing 36. Right, just statistically, it's not based like that. Even if there's a little regression, the defense should still carry you to at least 9 or 10 wins. That's the way I view it. And Mo Ibrahim comes back.
You know they're 5-1 to win that division?
Yeah, they're down from 7-1. They're down from 7-1. I have them at 7-1 and 6-1, and I took them in terms of 10-plus wins this year as well. I have them in a number of bets.
Wow.
Doesn't mean I'm right. But I have them.
But that's good. I like to hear when you strongly believe something like that. And I'm going to do some reading of some guides this weekend
Think about this, Dave. They were statistically, one of the best defenses in the Big Ten. Not just in the Big Ten. They were statistically rush defense, pass defense, one of the best top 10 defenses in the nation
in the country
last year.
Yeah. Yep.
So that carries a little more weight for me. And they went toe-to-toe with Ohio State week one. Ibrahim doesn't get hurt as a 13.5-point dog. And that targeting call, by the way, that should have been – forget it. Don't
How
even
do
get
you
me
even
started.
Remember this stuff? Man, you're –
The kid led with the crown of the helmet, laid the kid out. His chin strap, jaw peg came out from Minnesota. Because it was Ohio State, they didn't throw the flag. That would have sustained the drive. They would have been first and 10. They would have been maybe trailing by 7. Backdoor cover. There it is.
So, I mean, I'm looking at these Big Ten West division odds. Wisconsin plus 170. Nebraska plus 350. Second choice, Iowa 4-1. Minnesota 5-1. Purdue 6-1. Illinois, Northwestern, not even worth mentioning. Are you, like, Nebraska's the second choice. Minnesota's fourth. I'm really thinking this might be a play. This might be this is good stuff here. Purdue?
That's it.
Anything with Purdue?
Yeah, I like Purdue. Problem is that Karlaftis, their big play defensive end, is gone. They lose Bell, their big play wide receiver. Aiden O'Connell's good. They were supposed to have their starting wide receiver Oliver there. He got suspended. He's kicked off the team. So I don't like them as much. But I think Brohm's a great head coach. But I tell you what, that's one of my best week one plays. I love Penn State laying the 3.5. I think they absolutely boat race them on the road.
Really?
I do.
You like the total? Over? Boat race
not
score?
Not touching the total.
Okay, 54 and a half. That seems excessively high for a Big Ten opener.
I know. Which means Clifford could throw for 700 in that game, right?
Well, this is the way Penn State's going to start, right? They're going to come out, they're going to go 4-0 or 5-0, and then they're going to have a game.
No, don't say it. Believe. I won't wear the jersey once. Every time I wore the Penn State jersey last year, the home jersey, two losses, Michigan and Iowa.
I broke it out. Yeah, I know.
I might burn it. We're coming right back, Lisi and Sharapan, and wrapping it up the second hour for Carver and Lisi.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi here with you. Wrapping up the show flies. Let me tell you, when Carver's not here, I just can't get off my perch talking for 2 hours straight. First hour by myself and then with Sharapan. We'll give best bets. Carver will be in tomorrow. I'll throw two games, Dave. I told you I like tomorrow night, Detroit and Chicago. I know Chicago sucks. They can't score, but I'm over 8.5 at minus 115. It's looks like Norris and Kopech on the mound tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then I'm taking the Jags plus the 100. I'm taking the money line. Don't even give me the 1.5 points. I don't care if Brian Sipe or Bernie Kosar start for the Cleveland Browns with Brian Finneran, okay? Or Ernest Biner. That's a, how about that? Give me Doug Peterson plus the 100. I did. I'm an old school guy. What do you think about that tomorrow night? Crypto play.
Strong. I hope you enjoy that preseason football because I'm definitely not going to be watching it. I am going to be focused on some baseball, Joe. The Phillies are playing the Mets. This is it for the Phillies. They really have to answer the bell here for the weekend series. But they get Scherzer first, DeGrom second, and Bassett third. And we get the overnight line of minus 185 on Scherzer. It looks like that's about the consensus. We'll wake up in the morning and that thing will be minus $2. Give me the Mets, give me the music, and then, of course, the Dodgers on the run line. Thanks for having me. Great talk.
Awesome stuff. Sharapan, Carver, and Lisi will be back tomorrow night. Mike will be with us. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.